I know why Andy likes or suggested that I speak from here. I think it's to keep an eye on the ones on the balcony. You can't fall asleep. You could be seen by the preacher. Well, as we're collecting the glasses, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And the text will also appear on the screen. And I'd like to read this fairly well-known passage, Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I'm reading from the NIV version. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Well, I've been studying this passage and really wanted to share some thoughts with you as we are thinking especially about mission. You see, the disciples had been out on mission. God, or Jesus, had sent them out 2 by 2, and they'd been going from village to village proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And they'd come back from their mission trip, and they were excited about what God had done in and through them. But we see that they're also tired. In fact, they're so tired, and the crowds that are gathering around them just keep on coming and keep on coming. And it says that they didn't even have time to eat because they were so busy serving the Lord. It can be tiring. It can be exhausting as a Christian when you're involved in Christian ministry. Well, these disciples were tired. They were exhausted. They were hungry. And Jesus looked at them and he recognized their need. And he says these words, which are so encouraging. It would have been encouraging for them, and I believe for us today. He says to his friends, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." That invitation that Jesus gave to his friends, "Come and just spend time with me. You need to be with me," Jesus says to his friends. And I wonder if that is a word of encouragement, perhaps challenge for some of us who can often get so busy in our lives, can't we? Rushing around, doing hopefully lots of good things. And yet, Jesus' word speaks to us even 2,000 years later. You need time with me. I was sharing about this in our mission team just in these last days. On Thursday, we had a prayer morning. And we spoke about the importance of taking time aside with the Lord on a regular basis for me every morning seeking to spend time in God's word. But do you know the challenges of life? We have our devices that draw us into all the emails and all the work and the news clips and social media and everything and everything. And I find even more important for us as Christians to recognize this invitation from the Lord. Come and spend time with me. Make sure that we prioritize our lives. So the disciples took Jesus up on this offer, and they get in this boat and they have this wonderful time heading out. It's in the middle of the lake. It's a beautiful spring morning. The grass is green. They're heading out to this beautiful little place that they know on the other side of the lake. It would have been wonderful, wouldn't it? After all the busyness, after all the stress, after their mission trip, to spend time, just them alone with Jesus. That's what they needed. And it's wonderful to be with Jesus. I think of us this morning. Our boat is a rather different size and shape, but here we are together. And Jesus himself is in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, he promises to be with us. And we've been praying to him and we've been worshipping him. And now we are looking in his word. He is here with us, and it's safe for us as Christians to be meeting together. It's wonderful to be in the boat with him. The problem is what happens next in our story. As the disciples are enjoying fellowship with Jesus and they're there alone with him in the boat, a couple of them look to the banks of the lake and they see, what is that? Is that people, crowds, going to where we're going? They're going around this side, they're going around this side. They've worked out that we're heading to the other side of the lake. How do you think the disciples feel at this time? You know, they had just left the crowds behind. Remember, they're exhausted, they're hungry, they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus had said, come and have a quiet time, just us together. That's what they needed. And now they're looking at the crowds, and worse still, they're looking at Jesus and seeing that look in his eye. That look of compassion. That look of love for the crowds, for those who are outside of the boat. And we read a lot in the Gospels about the compassion of Jesus, that compassion that moves him to action. And the disciples, as they saw the crowds and as they saw that look of love and compassion in Jesus, they knew what would follow. Oh, we've got to deal with the crowds again. We've got to get them to sit down in groups. We love to listen to Jesus preaching. We love to see his miracles. But we just needed time alone with him. Jesus is for us. Jesus loves us. And he does. And yet he loves those who are also outside of the boat. He recognizes the needs of the crowds. And I don't know what you see as you look at the world. You know, we are sometimes bombarded with all sorts of different news headlines. Just yesterday, watching the news, and of course this horrendous typhoon that has hit the Philippines, another hurricane that's hitting the east coast of the US, but especially in the Philippines, significant loss of life, significant suffering. People have lost homes. And of course, we go through the news reports and we hear of terrible things still happening in Syria and in the surrounding countries who have taken in refugees. We think of the Rohingya people, close to 1 million people who have fled ethnic cleansing in Myanmar and are congregated on the borders of Bangladesh. 600,000 children living in temporary tents, accommodation, horrendous conditions. The Dalit, downtrodden castes and peoples of India. Quarter of 1 billion people, more than 250 million, who are often enslaved and not having the opportunity to educate their children. In OM, we've just come across recently our teams working with Pakistani peoples who are enslaved, having to work in brick kilns. And our teams are seeking to reach out and bring transformation in those places. We spent 20 or more years serving in Moldova and seeking to reach out to the youth and to the elderly people in that country especially. Horrendous suffering and difficult conditions that people are facing. We see the boats, don't we, of especially people from North Africa who are seeking to get across the Mediterranean, seeking a better life. They could just get to Europe, risking their lives because of very difficult situations from where they've come. We're daily confronted with the needs of the crowds who are outside the boat, the crowds who do not yet know Jesus. And we see statistics and understand 7.5, 7.6 billion people in our world today, and 3 billion of them, that's 40%, do not know Jesus. 3 billion people who have never had the opportunity of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that surely is unacceptable in our world today. Our friends at Wycliffe tell us 1.5 billion people do not have the Bible, the scriptures, in their own language. And we think of 3 billion, that's 3,000 million people who have never had the opportunity of hearing the gospel. And we understand that 65,000 are added to that number every single day. This is unacceptable, isn't it? 2,000 years after Jesus lived and spoke to his friends and said, go and make disciples of all nations, still so many people have never heard, live in a place, in a community where there is no gospel witness, there is no church. How does that make us feel as Christians? What does this challenge us to do as Christians? Even in our own country, understand that there's more than 106 different people groups in the United Kingdom and 32 unreached people groups living amongst us. That's 4.9, close to 5 million people in our country who are from people groups where there is no Christian witness. What a challenge there is still for us as Christians, and recognizing the needs to the ends of the earth, but also recognizing that God has brought the ends of the earth to us here in this country. And we're challenged about what is our response as Christians. I remember when Helen and I first went to live in Moldova in the late 1990s. And we were involved in a church plant in a very remote area of the country. And there was a lady who started to bring her children along to the church, the Bible studies, and the Sunday school that Helen and others would be running. And we thought we'd go and encourage her to keep coming along to our little church. And so one Saturday evening, we followed her instructions and went to this very remote part of the small town we were living in. And we found this house, but could barely be described as a house, a little hut with a couple of rooms. No electricity, no running water, no heat. And we went in, and there was Ria, sitting on the bed with her mother-in-law and two small children. And we tried to encourage her to keep coming along to the church, that there is hope in Jesus and there's a future for your children. Excuse me. And as we encouraged her and she said she'd keep coming along, we looked in the little room next door, and half of the boards, the wood was missing from the floor. And we asked her, are you doing repairs on your house? You know, what's the situation here? And she was very embarrassed. But eventually she explained that a little while earlier, her father had passed away. And she said, we didn't have any money to pay for the funeral. And so we took up the boards from our home and we built a coffin and we buried him. And I can remember going back to our little apartment where we were staying and on our knees praying, saying, Lord, how do we respond to this? We knew that Rhea is just one of 47,000 people in that region where there were very little Christian witness, and 4.5 million people in the country that we were called to serve in. Lord, what can we do? What should we do when we look outside the boat and when we recognize the needs of others? Well, the disciples, when they had arranged the crowds of people and Jesus had preached, and we don't know the details of that message, but it was getting late, and the disciples came to Jesus and they advised Jesus. Did you notice this? Verses 35 and 36. It was getting late. Oh, Lord, this is a remote place and it's late and it's a bit dangerous. Look, there's kids here. It's getting dark. We should send them home. Otherwise, it's going to be dangerous. And they should go to the neighboring villages and buy some food. They must be hungry. Of course, it was the disciples that were hungry, isn't it? The whole day waiting. And they advise Jesus and tell him, excuse me, what he should do. You, Lord, should send them away. You should do this. And I wonder if sometimes as we speak to the Lord, if we are also trying to advise Jesus. Lord, we recognize the needs in our world. Please, would you send out missionaries? Well, it's a good prayer. Lord, we recognize the needs in our community. Please, would you use Andy to go and preach the gospel? It's a good prayer. Lord, we recognize the needs of the young people. Would you raise up youth workers and people who could reach the young people in our community? Well, these are good prayers. The problem is that sometimes it's us giving God advice what he should do. And, well, look at what Jesus said to his friends. When the disciples there 2,000 years ago advised Jesus and told him how to meet the needs of the people, Jesus, I think with a smile on his face, turns to his friends and he says, you feed them. You do something. Hey, Philip. One of the other Gospels tells us it's Philip who's the spokesman this time. Hey, Philip, you give them something to eat. But Lord, it would be so expensive. It would be costly. Do you want us to blow our missions budget just in one meal? 5,000 men, there's women, there's children. This is a huge group of people. 8 months' wages. We can't do it, Lord. It would be too expensive. It would be too costly. I can't feed all the people here. I can't make a difference for the poor in the world. I can't go and plant a church. I can't lead people to faith. I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't heal the sick. I can't provide shelter for the homeless. I can't help drug addicts. I can't preach to my neighbors. I can't educate children in India. I can't go as a missionary somewhere. I can't do it. Because it would cost me too much. That's maybe what the disciples are saying here, isn't it? Lord, it would cost too much. Just recently, one of the leaders in our work in Africa was speaking to me and got an incredible vision in Africa as the OM teams identified 350 unreached peoples and communities, and we're seeking to send 5,000 new missionaries over the next 10 years and see churches established amongst these 350 new people groups. And we're praying and sending out people. And this OM leader said to me, Matthew, I was just off the phone to a church planting couple in one of these areas. Very difficult, dangerous area. And he said, they just told me that the work is progressing. People are coming to faith. A church is being established. But their lives are in danger. And he said, they told me, Melvin, we fear that we are going to be killed because of our faith. Promise us that if we are killed, you will send others to take our place. And I think sometimes when I hear that sort of thing of us saying, Lord, it would cost me too much. It would be difficult for me to share my faith with those people or to go to that place to share your good news. You know, I never thought that God could use me as a missionary to bring good news to others. And the book that we mentioned earlier shares our testimony of how God can use ordinary people to make a difference if we're willing to step out by faith. You know, we mentioned serving with OM and the opportunities we have, and the biggest need we have, it's exactly what it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, "Open your eyes and see, the harvest is plentiful, but what's the problem? What's the problem? The workers are few. Few are those who are willing to go." And all of us can make excuses, can't we? "Lord, it would cost me too much. It would be too difficult. I can't go. I can't do this." And yet Jesus, as we come to the end, recognizing the time, as we see what Jesus said to his friends when they said it would cost too much, he smiles and says, "You do something. You feed them." And then in verse 38, he asks them, "What do you have? Go and see." "Lord, I'm embarrassed. I just have a couple of loaves and a few fish. It's nothing. I can't make a difference." And the Lord says, "Bring them to me." He didn't tell his friends to go and feed the people directly with what they had. He said, "Bring what you have to me." And as the disciples offered this meager portion of bread and fish into Jesus' hands, and as he gave thanks and prayed, that's when the miracle occurred, isn't it? That's when multiplication took place. When the believers brought what they had and said, "Lord, it's not much, but all that I have I give to you." And then Jesus gave it back, not to the people, gave it back to his friends. And they then met the needs of thousands and thousands of people. And at the end, the disciples, did you notice how many basketfuls of food was left over? You all noticed. How many? 12. Surely a coincidence, isn't it? Remember at the beginning of the story, the disciples are exhausted and they're hungry. And yet, as they give what they have to the Lord meets their needs as well as meeting the needs of others. We are blessed so that we can go and be a blessing to others. We are in the boat with Jesus, and it's wonderful to be in the boat. But my prayer is that we would open our eyes. We would recognize the needs of the crowds. We'd recognize the needs of those in our world. And we'd say, "Lord, I know I don't have much, but what I have, I give to you. Lord, I know I can't do much, but I give myself to you. Lord, how can I be used to make a difference in this world?" Recognizing that there are 3 billion people who have never had the opportunity of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together that the Lord would continue to open our eyes to see how we may be used to make a difference in this world. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak to us, Lord, through your word, that we can hear you, we can draw close to you. We can dwell with you, accepting this invitation to be with you in the boat. And yet, Lord, we recognize there are so many who have never even heard of the boat. So many who have never even heard your good news. Stir us to action, Lord, I pray. Challenge us. Open our eyes to recognize the needs of others. Open our eyes to recognize how you might use us to make a difference. Lord, that we would see more people having the opportunity of turning to you and experiencing how wonderful it is to know you and to live in relationship with you. We praise you, we worship you, and we say, Lord, here we are. Would you use us, please, for the furtherance of your kingdom? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.